Hey, welcome back to the show. I am so glad you are here with me today because I have a really interesting show for you today. We are going to be talking about medicine. We're going to be talking about germs. We're going to be talking about viruses and something interesting. I learned something new about both things and you might find it interesting. So I hope you listen to this show today, but we're also going to be talking about our First Amendment right and being censored, and a company who is providing a resource for all of those out there that have been censored and taking their First Amendment right away. So, I mean that the show today is going to be very informative, and I really thought that it was very interesting. So I hope you enjoy it too. But before we get started, make sure you join me on Telegram at the Amber May Show. I always add more content there, so always follow me there. You can also follow me on True Social Amber May, Frank Social Amber May. And hey, think about becoming an angel investor of the Amber May Show. I'm going to be speaking at the Reawaken America Tour. I mean, I want to go to things and broadcast like and be informative on different events around the country. But it takes money. It does. And I'm just me, you know. I don't have big pharma behind me, and I don't have the big corporate media behind me like Fox, CNN, and MSNBC. Be thankful for that. So consider becoming an angel investor of the Amber May Show. All you have to do is go to theambermayshow.com. There's a donate button. Hit the donate button, and you could donate 5, 10, 20, 100, whatever you want to give, and it will go to upgrading equipment that I need, travel expenses, things like that. Because if you want good information, I'd love to provide that, but it also takes a lot of time and money. While you're there, check out the resource tab. I have a lot of information on the resource tab, and I have some wonderful merchandise in the promo section, or they save you a discount on the promo section. So you can find the Patriots there. And then on the merchandise section, I have great stuff to show you there as well. So check all that out on the website. Well, coming up next is, I think, a really great guest. I hope you enjoyed today's episode. Please like, share, and subscribe. That really helps me quite a bit. So, like I said, I have Daryl. He's going to be talking to us about a whole bunch of things, but I definitely want to hit on his main thing. But before we get to that, I want to just welcome Daryl to the program. Thank you so much for coming on the show today.
Thank you so much, Amber. Yeah, I'm Daryl Becker, and I do have a business, contentsafe.co, where we help content creators like Amber here get their stuff automatically uploaded to all the different platforms so that you grow your audience over and you stop getting censored by YouTube. Or I don't know if you've ever had issues with YouTube taking stuff down,
Oh,
Amber.
I got deplatformed off YouTube. Like they saw me
It's
coming
all
a
gone.
mile away. Like I was getting huge numbers when I first started uploading, and then all of a sudden, out of nowhere, I got shadow banned and my numbers dropped like crazy. And then they started giving me strikes. And then they're like, "You're no more." I'm like, "Okay, well, screw you, YouTube. I don't need
Yeah, that's good. Yeah,
you."
so like what places do you go up now? Where's your show up now at this point?
So I'm on Frank Speech and I'm Rumble and BitChute and Brighteon so far. And I might include other ones, but right now those are the ones I get on because just like you, Daryl, okay, just like you said, it's a lot of work to upload your shows to every single platform that's out there. So it makes me not want to get on all the others because it takes forever to get on just the ones that I have. So, like, give me the backstory. Like, why did you even want to get involved in helping content creators to begin with?
Well, I'm a consumer of alt media for a long time now. As soon as I moved to Hawaii and started having high speed internet, all of a sudden a world more of a lot more shows opened up to me, and it totally opened my mind to incredible topics such as critical thinking and emotional balancing skills, which we might touch on later in the show. It opened my mind to all kinds of versions of history that I realized were seemingly more accurate. And so, I eventually started getting out there on shows. Like I eventually got connected to Richard Grove of tragedyandhope.com. His show is greattheftworld.com. It's a pretty rising show of covering current events right now. And he's well known in the alt media community. I got in front of him in 2013 and got to do a great presentation. And that got me onto various podcasts. And I was not just consuming podcasts, but I was starting to be a pod guest of media, like what I'm doing right now. And that was so exciting, like just to be part of it. And like I've started and stopped multiple podcasts. Right now, my show is Not Medical Advice, where I get to go over all the medical stories that I can't say in front of my clients. Because
nice.
That's, you know, as a medical professional, I'm there to help people right there with their problem. And it's not like the Daryl show where I can go off on like various tangents that don't relate to them getting results. Mm-hmm. So I have like a platform for that. But way before I started that show, I mean, I just, I got connected with my friend, Matt Raymer, who's extremely proficient developer, coder, website builder, software builder. He just has been in the tech space for longer than I've been in medicine. And he's really, really good. And we struck up a friendship around that topic of critical thinking and emotional balancing skills, these methods that can yield better ways of thinking and better ways of handling the strong feelings that are going on. And like in our friendship, like we saw eye to eye on alt media. We're so into the, you know, going into like the alternative versions, what people call conspiracy theories. We just call the alternative research community of just
there
looking into new data. And like, I was working for his company to help him save like time and money so that when he's like dealing with clients, I go over an email with him and like remove certain words before he sends it out so that it's less antagonistic, could close the deal. And then there's less having to think about it, you know, like where Amber, you ever have someone take up rent-free space in your mind?
Oh yeah.
Like that, where the story is going around in a cycle. Yeah. So that's something I get paid to do by clients like that, to help them step away from that.
Can you, in this case, I was just helping him like party really quick, because Donald Trump's living rent free in all of their minds, and they might need you to go do something about that.
Yeah, that's on purpose too, right? That's perception management on a big mass scale. And I only take care of one-on-one mostly, but you know, I'm hoping that the message spreads. So here's how it went. Is like me and Matt Raymer became friends, and we're working together. I'm working to help him save money in his company. He's working to help me with hosting my sites, and we're working together. And then 2018 happens with the great deplatforming of Alex Jones and more than 1,000 other content creators who were doing nothing wrong. And what, you know, like as we all just get to find out, guess what? You know, Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and the other big major media companies, they're private owned. And there's nothing you can do if they want to just play completely dirty and say, Amber, you didn't obey our community standards, our community guidelines. And you look at the community guidelines says to obey community guidelines. It's just like a little circle. Mm-hmm. It goes around in a circle like that. That doesn't mm-hmm. explain anything. And it's arbitrary. So it's like sharecropping, that people are, you guys are all digital sharecroppers. You're building on land that you don't own. And we saw that the need was there to help people. So what are we going to do is, well, in 2018, there were a growing number of alt media platforms. BitChute was the biggest at that time. And it still is prolific. People go to, if your video, like, you know, the Plandemic or something has just been axed off of YouTube in places, well, you know, it's living on BitChute. So that and DTube and DLive and D-Link and all these many different sites were growing, like Brighteon was another big one.
Oh,
that started
yeah,
then.
I'm on Brighteon too. Yeah. I forgot to say that.
I remember. And so so we just decided, okay, we could do this. You know, we worked on the branding, created Content Safe. And yeah, thanks to my friends Richard Grove and the Autonomy community. He's got autonomy.info. It's a huge community of media professionals and marketing individuals like both of us actually. And they just they worked, you know, to get some of the messaging out there. It really helped us out, like, because we really got a little start. So we're still in a soft launch at Content Safe, where we find content creators like you, and usually we work to say, okay, do you want a lifetime up deal? We'll make a deal with you and just like say like upload, you know, 5 platforms or more for X price, and we'll make it like one price and get it done and keep working for you. Or is it more like you're on a budget and we'll do it monthly? And that's the other deal that we're working on. And we have more than 15 different platforms to upload to. So I think you mentioned before, you know, like if you're working, like, do you have a media team? Do you have people who actually upload your shows for you?
No.
Or do you?
It's me and me alone. Yes.
Okay. So yeah, you're a solopreneur. Okay. Mm-hmm. So you know what it's like. You see, you can't afford to like hire a developer to write the script, you know, like that actually coding that actually gets your shows automatically uploaded. That's what we do at Content Safe. So we take your show from one place, for example, we could just take it right off of Rumble, and then it would go automatically to an extra 5 different platforms where you grow your audience. And that's the service in a nutshell. I mean, we have extras where if your site's getting hacked a lot, we can help. We help with content creators. We build them a bulletproof site that's super secure. WordPress has so many plugins that it creates all these inroads for people to hack your site. And, mm-hmm. you know, there's other problems that can happen. If you have problems with payment platforms, like, you know, for example,
PayPal
and Patreon and Stripe. And we work actually to collect alternative payment platforms and connect our content creators with those so that you could actually bring in money when they're, you know, those payment processors are playing dirty with you. So we do that too, you know. And so we serve the content producers. You guys are all important to us. And the important part is just getting the voice out there, just to make sure that the messages, like when you had like Peter McCullough on, that's really important for people to actually like weigh the different options of what people are saying about these current events, like the, I don't know, interesting and unusual forms and numbers of death going on in various demographics, like younger people. And that's important to not have, you know, getting censored out there. That's, I think, really critical.
Mm-hmm. No, it is. It's super critical because, you know, what I saw when they were deplatforming all of us and not letting us have a voice is I saw the burning of the books, so to speak. So when a new regime takes over, they want to destroy all this knowledge. They don't want you to have knowledge, because if you knew the truth of things, then they lose their power. And so they were trying to scrub everyone who had a dissenting voice, who was trying to speak out, who wanted to question, who didn't fully go along with what they were saying, and they wanted to burn the book, so to speak. And it's been a really sad time in America when that was going to happen in a land that's supposed to be free. But we've noticed little by little, they have taken freedom. And especially in the medical community, which you're a part of, they're silencing doctors any way they can. And the biggest way they can do that is stripping their license or threatening to strip their license. And that's a conversation I have with Dr. Peter McCullough. It's like, you know, your medical knowledge didn't go anywhere. They can't suck that knowledge out of your brain. You went to school, you were trained, you were a professional, you know what it's like, how the human body works. They can't take that out of his mind. But the licensing part is where, you know, it's a double-edged sword. It's nice on one hand, you know, okay, they know what they're doing. But on the other hand, it just takes your feet right from underneath you, and you lose that voice, at least the medical community does. So in that aspect, the medical community lost their voice. We lost our voice by being deplatformed. I mean, so there's a lot of ways, and that's why I think the First Amendment was freedom of speech, because A, God spoke the world into existence. Words are important to God. He created everything through words.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second, but right now I'm going to take a quick break. Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and my employees and I want to thank you for your continued support by bringing you the biggest bath sale ever. Get my six-piece towel sets for the lowest price ever, only $39.96. His and her bathrobes, 50% off. Bath mats for as low as $17.49. And I'm also excited to announce the original My Slippers are back in stock. And now they come in even more colors and wide sizes. They're made with the same great patented technology. And yes, you'll still save $90 a pair. So get the biggest savings ever on bath sheets, bath mats, washcloths, hand towels, bathrobes, slippers, and so much more. So go to MyPillow.com or call the number on your screen. Use your promo code and get deep discounts on all MyPillow bath products, including our six-piece towel sets. Regular $89.98, now only $39.96. Get all your shopping in while quantities last, so please order now.
Hey guys, I want to give you a pro tip to help keep your family healthy when everyone around you is coughing, sniffling, or sneezing, okay? Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go first to drstellamd.com. When you're there, go ahead and grab some COVID bites. Also, get your ivermectin, set up your telemed appointment, and get your ivermectin. I'm going to give you a promo code to help you save some money, and use promo code AMBERMAY, one word, and that'll help you save money. Now, here's your pro tip for you. You can use this on your entire family. The adult doses too. I've talked to a medical expert. They said cut it in half when you're dealing with children. So one tablet. What I do with my kids, because it's just too big of a pill for them, I get a blender. I put a pill in there. I fill it with water and like some flavoring. And then boom, I have them drink it before school. Pro tip, and what it has, and it's amazing. It has quercetin, vitamin D, vitamin C, zinc, all the therapeutics to help keep your body healthy and working at optimum health. Support your body's immune system when you use the COVID bites. They're amazing. So go to drstellamd.com, grab your COVID bites, get your ivermectin, use promo code AMBERMAY, and save some money. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress. And so he gives us our First Amendment, which is a freedom of speech, so that we can speak and have a voice. And then the second one, it to protect the First Amendment, is our Second Amendment, and they go after that really hard, which is your right to bear arms. And so that's a pretty sad time in America where we've just been slowly letting big government take over and stripping our rights away little by little. I mean, now we're looking at these regulatory agencies making policies. Since when did they become a legislator? I thought only legislators, people in Congress, could write laws and policies. But somehow these people who are the regulatory agencies or the EPA, unelected people, make policies, and it's really unconstitutional. Because they don't have the legislative right to make policy. We elect officials to make laws. And I could go on and on about that. So it's really cool that you have a way for people to be able to get out there and save them some time, is what it sounds like. You're a big time saver for a lot of people.
Yeah, but it's that's one thing. Because yeah, as you know, if your upload to a various site fails, then you could choose to keep going, or you could actually choose to give up, or you could just like be incomplete on that platform. And now your shows are out of sequence, or you don't have like enough, you know, like you're missing one of the shows. Mm-hmm. That's because it's not easy to upload to some of these. So you can let us at Content Safe do that work for you, because that's what we do, is like you just upload to one place and we'll get it up to, you know, five others, or in your case, you know, like add five more platforms. But the other part is you get to grow an audience there, because whether there are traditions that we have, I like to call them First and Second Amendment traditions. It means that people laws exist as a bubble inside of people's head. Like people could, you know, it's some people, they disregard that because they're authoritarian. They like to actually selectively enforce and then completely neglect the actual respect of boundaries, ownership, and property. So one of the wonderful things about the United States was that all of a sudden people could own land. And there was not regulations that were choking people where you needed to be the nephew of the king in order to make candles, because these that whole industry was built like, you know, to in other words, to sort of have the monopoly around certain industries, creating poverty and creating landless people who then would see this huge America to move to. And then with freedom and prosperity would just be flowing from that. And then you'd have the First and Second Amendments there that were enshrined in people's heads so that they can collect, they can say and write whatever they wanted so that they could protect themselves and their family. And that's a tradition around people. But now what has been very loud in mass media, the mainstream media, is you'll get to see people in various colleges, you'll be able to see people in various of the blue states speaking towards more of authoritarian communist style thinking. And they're promoting the idea that in many cases, speech is hurtful, thus must be like controlled and hurt. So you have the Alex Jones case where he's, you know, allegedly being ordered to deliver $1 billion to Sandy Hook, like family victims just for stating his opinion. And talk about an attack on free speech right there. I mean, that's huge right there. Like, you mean like someone can state their opinion and then they can get sued for stating their opinion because people didn't like it. And like that, this is completely against that. And what's happening now, I think, is that, Amber, I think that there's an overemphasis on mainstream media. I think that stuff is like for people who are like my dad's age. He's 86 now, you know, and like that's what it's for. It's like for the people who are soon to be dead and dying. They're going away. And everyone who is younger than that already knows that if you want the real truth, you go to the alt media. Mm-hmm. You're not going to get anything from these talk shows like they used to be. People would go to the Daily Show and actually learn things. And now that people know you can't do that, everything that are on these mass media, you know, conglomerates that are obviously owned by, you know, places that people have heard of like BlackRock and Vanguard and State Street, they're steering the conversation. You've heard of the term the Overton window of allowable opinion. You know, it's a term that refers to what's an allowable question. Mm-hmm. So if we were on like a big show, like if we were on MSNBC or CNN or Fox, even there is an opinion that we're allowed to say. There's a question we're allowed to ask, and if we were to go beyond that to ask questions that we're not allowed to ask, like, hey, you know, what's the deal with Building 7 and how that went down with 9/11 and what exactly is the evidence that viruses have been isolated and purified and used in demonstration to cause illness on their own completely? What can you show me the papers on that? We'll get to that maybe. But like those questions are completely not allowed on those networks I mentioned, but totally allowed here in our show. Yeah. Right? Or your show. I'm sorry. This is your show.
It could be our show today. We could have our show today.
Yeah. This is. But like I'm on your property right now, you know, but like I'm a guest, you know, like and I think that that's what a lot of people are opening up to, is that there's a mainstream media impression that there's an attack like on everyone's freedom. The vast majority of people that I interact with, you know, here and on my travels when I'm on the mainland of US, I see people as mostly being kind of self-concerned about what their own life, and they don't really have power over anyone. So they don't really exercise power over trying to go along and get along. And they just, you know, like there's that expression. It's very difficult to explain something to someone if their understanding it hurts, you know, like their salary, basically. It's very hard to get a man to understand something. And that means is that.
Wait, say that again. It's hard for a man to understand what?
It's very hard to get a man to understand something if his understanding it hurts his salary. So I should have pulled the quote up, and I'm misquoting Upton Sinclair in this case, but it means that if my dad was to, for example, understand, not just to know what my claims are, but to see the evidence that I'm for supporting my claims and understand why it is that I would be, say, leaning in that direction, because I'm not 100% sure of my conclusions. I'm going to make action on them, but I'm not 100%. But why would I be so strongly vehement about my conclusions? Why do I sound so confident besides growing up in New York State? I sound confident because there's evidence, and I build my things with evidence first. Mm-hmm. And then up there, I have like a logic, which is like, And are there any logical fallacies? Very important part of critical thinking. And then I need to see, use the evidence together to sort of to disprove the conclusions. And use that's important.
You're breaking up a little bit. So you have your logical thinking. And then what did you say after that? Your logical question.
I need to finally see practical applications and experiments.
Okay. Yes.
So like when I get into medicine, I have to practically show that the treatment and medicines that I am using practically correlate with the results that are desired. Mm-hmm. I need to get predictable and desirable results at the top. So it's a pyramid of critical thinking where at the bottom is evidence, where you're collecting lots of evidence, you're asking. And then above that is the level of understanding, also known as logic. That's where you know, and everyone out there watching and listening, look up logical fallacies, informal logical fallacies. And you'll see them, of course, they're used in marketing, and they're used as ways to convince people to buy things. And that includes buying, say, the lie that they might need a certain injection at a certain time. And then, you know, you're looking at like, that's an appeal to authority, that the authority said so, and that's why.
That's right.
That's a very, like, that's not evidence is what you need, but and like an appeal to authority is a logical fallacy. Mm-hmm. So you would isolate and find fallacies, and you'd also be trying to connect the dots between the data. And then you need a practical application at the top. And so this was taught in classical, this is taught actually to the ruling class's children, that this is actually called critical thinking, the trivia method of critical thinking. They all know how to do this.
They took it out and for most of us who went through a long time ago.
Yeah, they watered it down big time. When I was a child, they had it in one format called here's how to write a proper article. And they taught me like how to do that, which was it's going to answer who, what, where, and when. Mm-hmm. And that's the grammar or the data part of the bottom. That's the just knowledge. Then it's going to answer why. And mm-hmm. that's the logic part, which is mentioned logic part of that. It will give a practical application. And that's a proper article. And that was as much critical thinking as I was given as a child.
Oh, yeah, me too. That's it. Yeah. I mean, they didn't want you to critically think. Because if you could critically think, then what they were indoctrinating you, you'd be like, wait a minute, that's not true. That couldn't have happened. Or you'd ask more questions because it didn't make sense. Yeah, they don't want critically thinking children. That's why when Arizona passed the law where the money follows the kids, they freaked out because now there's less control over the minds of the children for them to indoctrinate them with what they want to indoctrinate the children with. And the things they want to indoctrinate the kids actually confuse them on who they are as a person, the family unit, disobeying your parents, things like this, things that have nothing to do with education and things that involve family issues that really is out of the realm of the teacher. But these are the things they want you to know. Oh, or go get this shot or what, you know, whatever the propaganda is. And you hit on something. There's six companies that control all the content that goes out there in the world, except for alternative media. And if you turn on the alternative media, we all might go towards like the same goal of getting information to tell you who's behind everything, what's really going on. But none of us are step in line. Like we don't have the exact same verbiage on every single show. And each one of us are coming from a different viewpoint. Recently, mine's been more medically speaking recently, but I talk on elections. I talk on all kinds of stuff. So every show though, we all might be in the same category of giving people really good information about what's happening in the world below, like the BRICS nation. Like Clay's just been great about, Clay Clark, my friend, been great about getting the information out about the BRICS nation. What's the BRICS nation? Brazil, Russia, India, China, South Africa. And now Turkey, now Saudi Arabia. And what do they want to do? They want to deplatform the dollar. So would you have heard that on Fox, CNN, and MSNBC? No, they don't want you to know this stuff. They want you to be stupid. They want you to get really finite information, very surface knowledge information. So you go to these different alternative platforms, and we're all coming from a different piece of information, and we all have our evidence. Because if we didn't have our evidence, if we didn't have the research, then who, you know, we're nothing better than the propaganda they're spilling out on the TV right now. And if your podcaster isn't showing you any kind of evidence, then you need to move on to a podcaster who at least has done the research and said, hey, this is where I found it. But please do the research on your own. Don't just take my word for it. All of us podcasters should be doing that. I mean, here, I will show you. I'll have the experts. I'll show you the articles. I'll show you. But don't take my word for it. Go look it up for yourself and see if you find some different information. But I'll be hard-pressed if you do.
Exactly.
Hey, I'm going to get to that thought in just a second. But right now, I'm going to take a quick break.
Back the time with the Timeless Pack. And the cool thing about the Timeless Pack, it's a 3-in-1 solution. You get the best antioxidants that there are. So get rid of all that stuff that's damaging your cells. Get rid of them. And the wonderful thing I love about it is the Timeless Skincare. It nourishes your skin, helps take care of all those fine lines. What happened to me is it helped diminish a sunspot I had on my face, which was great. And put a couple drops in your mouth before you eat and you block fat. Who wouldn't want something like this? It's made from muscadine grapes, which is great. It helps with your health, your immunity, your skincare, and it helps with antioxidants. So you're going to get a lot of fantastic stuff when you get the Timeless Pack. So how do you get the Timeless Pack? It's simple. All you have to go to is ambermay.canaway.com, and then you're going to look for the nutrition part. When you get to the website, you're going to look for nutrition. So let's see. Go up here to the menu, and you're going to look for products, and we're going to look for nutrition, Infinity Nutrition. I'm going to click Infinity Nutrition. Canaway is spelled K-A-N-N-A-W-A-Y. So ambermay.canaway.com.
I want to tell you about a company that I just fell in love with. So I found Hero Soap Company. What I love about them is we're using it all the time at our house. My husband loves it. We're switching all of our soaps over to Hero Soap Company. But what I love about it is they're local. They're an American-made company, and they're owned by a veteran. And I thought that was so cool. I love to support patriots. So if you want to be like me and get all that harsh chemicals out of your home and use a soap that's actually really healthy for you with great natural ingredients, but also is an American-made product that's owned by a veteran or co-owned by a veteran, then you need to check out Heroes Soap Company / Amber May. And then what's really cool about what they do is they give back to the community and they support veterans and first responders. So everyone's winning in this situation. If you use promo code Amber May, you're saving money. You're supporting a company that's American made, patriot owned, that supports other patriots. It's just a win-win for everybody. So Hero Soap Company / Amber May, and use promo code Amber May to save some money. You are listening to the Amber May Show, and now we return to the show already in progress.
And it all comes down to the attitude of, is your mind open? And like, I like to look at like 4 different qualities specifically, like the quality of curiosity. Do you have the curiosity to learn new things? Like, do you want to discover? Like today, I'm hoping to drop like at least a couple bombs in your show here to say, maybe could you think about this? And then like the next part is flexibility. Could you consider that? Although, you know, some of your past guests might have gone into being very firm on a conclusion and they're not flexible because they're years and years into their livelihood. I was realizing, and I did a mea culpa, I was wrong on my show in 2020 when I realized that I had been wrong for 22 years of my practice on the germ theory of disease as juxtaposed to the terrain model of disease, because I'm flexible. I can consider that I could be wrong. And I did the research and I read virology papers and other like basically infectious disease causal papers. And I saw that I was very likely wrong. I have the humility.
Darryl, for the people who aren't medically savvy, science savvy, explain that in everyday terms.
Well, okay. In everyday terms, if you can conceive that you were given a tale in school, say if like you're not in medicine, it's not your field, that's fine. I am, but there was a time when I wasn't, and I was given the idea that Louis Pasteur discovered that you needed to pasteurize milk, that it was very important to that germs were verified, that bacteria would come from the outside and they would grow inside and cause disease. And Robert Koch is another person who promoted this idea. He's famous over there in Germany. They've got the Robert Koch Institute, which is the same thing as the CDC in America. They've got, they're basically like dual versions of the same thing. And they promoted this idea that if you look in Wikipedia, it's still called the germ theory of disease. And it was expanded to include viruses cause disease back in the actual 1930s when the first electron microscopes were devised. Whoa. And they started pointing to particles, cell waste particles, as far as I can tell, and calling them viruses. And of course, in a scanning electron microscope, everything is all still and you know, like basically frozen. It's cut. It's been poisoned with heavy metals to stain it. And then it's bombarded with electrons. So you're not seeing a video. You're seeing a still picture. And what I'm saying is the theory is that germs come from the outside. And if your family member is sick or someone around you is sick, their bacteria comes off of them and onto you and causes you to get sick. That's the germ theory of disease in a nutshell. What I'm saying is I looked at the evidence to support that and it doesn't work that way.
Hmm. Okay.
And it does not work that way at all. Okay. And I promote this on various shows because, hey, like, again, if you have that curiosity like you do, if you can be flexible to say, I will consider this. I know Daryl might be saying something that's against my personal experience because I was around a sick person and I got sick. I can explain that with a different model. Are you flexible to understand a different model? Do you have the third quality? Do you have humility? Could you be wrong about this thing? Mm-hmm. You say you're not in medicine, so could you be wrong about medicine since it's not your profession? Could you be wrong about medicine if it is your profession for decades? Like, you know, for example, someone like Peter McCullough, which would be sometimes I find that the older the person is, the more challenging it is for them to acknowledge error, that they could have been wrong for decades. I was wrong for 22 years of my medical practice about this theory. When I researched it, I've been treating it the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And finally, courage. It takes courage to say you're wrong, especially on a show like that's reaching like hundreds or thousands of people. Mm-hmm. And I did this on the Tinfoil Hat with Sam Tripoli. That was like the biggest show I've been on so far. You know, like that's where I introduced Sam Tripoli to the idea. And since then, he's been a huge proponent of the terrain model of disease. So what I'm trying to say is people are deficient frequently when they're in fear. They've got low courage. You know, so in 2021, especially with lockdowns being heavy and parts of 2020 when it was just starting, there was a lot of fear going on. You know, there's a lot of fear. There was a lot of people being isolated. There were people being like their meaning and purpose to their life, which is normally by being out with other people, was then, you know, that they're insulated. So they were like put into that format. This is called mass formation, by the way.
Mass formation psychosis.
Yeah, this is it. So then you have free floating anxiety, the other component of it, where people were just they're very just always afraid, but you can't focus on a virus because you can't see it. You know, so they were just assuming it's places. I have had a friend who was spraying everything with Lysol and pretty much getting sick from that. I had a friend who was dipping his shoes in bleach like upon like coming back into his house. Mm-mm. Again, these are extremely intelligent people that were not behaving rationally, because rationally speaking, that doesn't work that way.
Daryl, one second, please.
Yeah. I was speaking of how it's very hard for people to, when they're under this whole mass formation psychosis influence, when they have that free floating anxiety, when they're dealing with this lack of connection in their life that they're used to, when their sense of meaning and purpose to their activities and their day to day is diminished, and they have like often unfocused aggression, in this case at the outgroup, the people like who would be questioning believing the mainstream media, people who are questioning masks and social distancing, people who are questioning the safety and effectiveness of vaccines, that's the outgroup. And this was basically, this is designed on purpose to separate people, to get people into their fight, flight, freeze kind of reactions. And it was extremely effective. And I wish I had seen this coming even better, because then I would have understood like how to leverage that in my own favor better. But now I understand it, like looking 2020 hindsight, it's nothing like it, you know? So what I do now is I try to find people and meet them, like depending on where they are in my life, in my paid life or my unpaid life. Like, where are you? You know, I try to fit, where are you there? I try to act as if everyone is a paying client of mine. So that's, you know, we're talking pretty patient and definitely aiming for like making a good connection. And I'm looking to see, you know, what are my objectives with this person? Like, what do I want? Like, how do I want it to show up? Like, how do I want this to go? And what are the actions I can take to get to those objectives? And what resources do I need to take those kind of actions to get to my objectives? Like, so with you, like, yeah, obviously, I mean, I'd love to score you as a content safe client, but at this point, I just want to be friends. I want to go back on your show, you know, like that's like main objective. It's like to get back on your show someday, you know, that's like the number one. The actions, I'm going to try to track your facial everything and to see, did I go on too long or just long enough? Am I being a little too New York animated because that's where I grew up? Or should I tone it down and slow it down a little bit? How much patience do I need to up my patience and everything or anything like that? And those are the resources I have. I have patience, I have tracking ability, and I can keep track of that. And then I try to see, okay, so where's my curiosity and my flexibility? What's my humility level? How wrong could I be about what I was just stated in the show so far? And what's the courage level? And then I try to track yours. Like, where are you at with curiosity, flexibility, humility, and courage? And that's some of the fun I have when I'm going on shows like this. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, I'm not here to say I know everything about everything, but I do my best to get good information out. And again, anyone could be wrong. You know, you learn in journalism, because that's what I went to school. I went to journalism school, that you're supposed to admit when you have bad information. And yet you really don't see that very much in the mainstream media. I mean, there should be retractions in newspapers. There should be retractions on TV with bad information. They want to tell us that we're giving bad information. But look at the VAERS report. Is it really safe or effective? I don't think so. If you look at the data, it doesn't prove safe or effective. Now they're telling us, before they were telling us, oh, the COVID shot would stop transmissibility. Oh, but Pfizer knew all along it was never going to stop transmissibility. You know what I mean? And yet they never go back to their humility part and say we were wrong, because they knew all along they were wrong. And they want to say people like me had bad information, which was not true. And so how, you know, what you need to think about when you're listening to things like this is how they're twisting people's mind and going back to the psychosis, because they call us conspiracy theorists. Because if they put bad connotations on us, just like the playbook is from World War II. I mean, just look at World War II, and it's like lockstep and key with World War II, because they had a big problem and Hitler had a problem that happened, some fire or whatever. He blamed a small group of people on that fire to get everybody to hate that small group of people. And then it was just a nonstop, all the time message, a one message. And if you went against that one message, they silenced you. And so what happened in 2020? You go to the grocery store, gotta get your shot to help protect grandma. TV, gotta get the shot to help protect grandma. Radio, you gotta get the shot to help protect grandma. I mean, no matter where you went, it was the same message. And it was written out on every door too. Get the shot to protect grandma. I mean, no matter what building you went to, get the shot to protect grandma. Wear a mask to protect grandma. No matter where you went, it was in written form and audio form. And that's how you get mass psychosis. You brainwash people. And they're smart people, like you said. Really smart people that got brainwashed because they took that authoritative voice. And it just negated their logical brain. Because you had the fear, you had the authoritative voice, and then you had the indoctrination of the same message no matter where you went. You tell a lie long enough, people will believe it.
So true. And I think that what a lot of people mistook in this last, I'm going to say like this last even 50, 60 years or so, is that there's been this move away from true spirituality and organized religion into a new type of spirituality called scientism.
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
people were already like, you know, like there was been a lot of like play in the media to try to get people to see, you know, obviously the many shenanigans of the Catholic Church and child abuse and the there's a lot coming out around that, and then just the general sense of emptiness and hollowness in most forms of communal spiritual worship. And like, now I'm not saying like for sure like that's everyone, but I'm saying that it's been on the increase to decrease many people's trust in like them getting something practical and accessible from getting together to church, synagogue, or wherever, and it's all of them. So that's been it's been pushing in that way, and to at the same time get people to trust in science, that science has the answers, that everything is all figured out. I highly recommend everyone to go and take time to go to the TED Talk, The Science Delusion by Rupert Sheldrake. And he'll cover the 10 major science components that you might think are true, totally aren't. So people love to be certain. And that's what it is. This is it's a heavy addiction and compulsion to be certain about conclusions. People are building self-esteem on being certain about their conclusions. Because if you were wrong, well, first of all, now you have to have the frustration and sadness and fear of what could have happened because you made the wrong choices based on that wrong information. Also, you got that now story going on that you're a fool. It's like a version of like story to yourself thing going on. And now, you know, like you don't want to think that you're a fool. You want to think that you're a smart person, at least like smart enough to discern like when people are trying to fool you. Mm-hmm. So there's that component. And this is really challenging for people who just have built up years of building self-esteem and that they are a worthy, good person, that they're more than enough, that they're like an awesome part of this universe. They're disconnected from spirit and the connection of the energy around them so that they build self-esteem on being certain about scientism, that the mainstream versions of science, which again have been shown over and over again over many decades they always do a mea culpa eventually about every 80 years. The people have to die and then come out to say like Dr. Semmelweis, who was literally put in a mental institution and his information completely downgraded when he was trying to explain to doctors to wash their hands between doing autopsies and delivering children. And that there would be nasty chemicals going on that mixing in that would just that this needed to be like this would be you know promoting actually not as many miscarriages but you know like basically damage to the children, damage to the mother, sicknesses that would, you know, like there's like infantile fevers that would be reduced by just cleanliness. And that's like he literally was like he had to die and all those other doctors had to die. And decades go by before they acknowledge that this was what, you know, by the way, that plays into the germ theory, which is unfortunate. But I am saying that the chemicals with which they were like embalming fluids, we're talking about all kinds of nastiness.
By and the just way, the they whole... put those in shots. I don't know if you know that, but
yeah,
they put
I'm,
that in
I'm
shots.
Aware. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm aware of too many components of these vaccines and injections in general. But yeah, that was part of it. Like there's same thing with continental drift. There's a whole series of sciences that just like where someone advances forward with evidence and their evidence is completely buried, that their conclusions are defunded, that students and other researchers are basically made economically to go away from that, to not investigate that until the time comes when those people who were benefiting from the old perspective die and go away.
That's
over funny. And over again. So this type of certainty is really popular with mostly the old and the old of heart. And so I like to think of that, like, are you old of heart? Because most people, they just really want to be certain. They want to get the right answer. And that disconnects them from actually finding out, could they be wrong? Do they have humility? It disconnects them from courage because, you know, courage requires you moving forward, even if you're afraid, especially when you're afraid. So many of us men, we're definitely like pushed towards being courageous.
Yes.
As a child. And many women, I'm sorry, but I'm going to say this as a hasty generalization, are not really nearly pushed as much to engage in courageous acts to demonstrate their bravery.
I really think that's because God made us different. And I look at men as being strong and God created men to like be a protector. He makes you stronger than females. Your hands are bigger than females. Your body mass is bigger than females. And naturally, if you look at any funniest home videos, who's the ones doing the videos? It's the men, because they have more courage, I guess, to do those crazy things than the females. And then they end up getting on the shows because their craziness led to something hilarious. You know what I mean? I think we have to embrace the way God made each of us different. And the way our media right now is, they don't want us to embrace what makes us different as far as female versus male.
All
day long, I'm going to be so grateful that men are strong and men are courageous all day long, because I want to feel safe, and I feel safe when I'm around a man. Like, if I'm going to walk into my car in a parking lot at night, I'd rather be escorted by a man than by a female, because I feel like he's stronger. He's more likely to be able to take on another man than a female would, because it'd be like mass against mass. You know what I mean? So I don't want to discredit how God made females and males completely different, but you touched on something that was very important, and I'm glad you said something, because the fact that now the alternative media has become stronger and stronger over the months, and people are now finding out more and more of the truth, but they believed in the authorities telling them that whatever they were told. It doesn't mean they're stupid because they believed it. And I'm glad you said something like that, because I don't want one person in my audience to think I look down on anyone who took a shot or believed the authority, because they were very crafty with their message. They weren't stupid in how they did it. And they took the playbook from World War II, and look at all those intelligent people that fell for the message back then. Mankind doesn't change. Mankind's the same. It'll never change. Mankind's always the same. So they took those strategic messaging skills, and they were able to have the mass psychosis. And it's not because stupid people fell for it. No, all kinds of people fell for it, because the messaging was so good. Who are you going to believe? All these people that say the same thing? Or just listen to the 2-3 people over here that say something different. Naturally, you're going to think, oh, well, I should believe all these people. They're saying the same thing. I mean, that's just your natural tendency. And they know that. And so they're going to prey upon that. And so all these smart people now are realizing, wow, I've just been lied to. And it does take humility to admit that. It does. And it takes courage to admit that. And so I'm so grateful you brought that up. But before we get going, you discovered the difference between, you know, getting sick and germs and stuff. So what was the other side that you learned? If you don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So that, if that's side? Not how it works. So I'm looking at like virology papers to see how did they actually demonstrate isolation of a virus? And I found out that they don't. They called it isolation, but in all the papers, what they do is they're mixing variables and they're not doing any controls, which is incredibly awful science. Right. And they're getting published as an isolation paper. Wow. So they're mixing a virus with cell culture, like basically like monkey kidney cells and other animal cells.
Which is also insurance, just so you know.
And then they're mixing in very strong antibacterial, antimicrobial agents to so-called kill just the bacteria so that only the virus can be grown. Then they're taking from that mixture, and then that is just never ever purified. They never take just viruses and centrifuge them out, they could totally do that, but they never do that. And they have the mixture, then they're taking pieces of that, and they're seeing what it looks like under a scanning electron microscope. And then they're doing some types of mostly completely faulty genetic coding off of this conglomerate of material, and then saying that they've done like a complete genetic analysis of a virus, which in no way have they ever done that. And so what I saw was, and I'll get to terrain model of health and disease in a moment, I promise you, but just hear me out on this. What they did was just a lot of faulty science with a lot of funding and money behind all of these. They own all of these scientific publications. So they were able to promote this And anyone who's going in medical industry at all, anyone like myself, medical professional, I had to go through medical college to get my license of acupuncture. I had to do anatomy, physiology, and all these many things. And I got certainly all of the same the same pathology type classes on viruses and nosodes and, you know, like all of these prions, all these alleged particles that are said to cause disease. And I found that even with bacteria themselves, which are endemic in the body, I found out that, guess what? There's just no evidence that they come from outside and cause disease. There is evidence, though, that bacteria are already inside of us doing many beneficial things. And unfortunately, sometimes they overgrow. Sometimes there's so much bacteria growing that it causes like actual like swelling, where like because they're trying to eat, what they're doing is they're eating dead cells and cell waste. They're there to actually take care of like damage and remove them. They're there to actually like make things go to get transported out. And that increases swelling. And swelling is, you know, now we have the body temperature going up. Excuse me a second. So the body starts, you know, heating the temperature up to try to, not so much to cook the bacteria out, but to increase temperature, to increase circulation. And then from there, what happens is, you know, the person actually gets a fever. They're feeling awful. So they stop, they lie down. They're encouraged to drink water. They feel thirsty. They'll want to be warm. They'll want to like actually like, they'll want to not eat food. Mm-hmm. They'll want to detoxify. Mm-hmm. So the entire process that people call infection by an outside virus or bacteria is insane. It's just instead, it's completely a different thing. You can look at the book, What Really Makes You Ill, and various other books on that topic. What's really happening is people are detoxing. They're going through a detox experience. Now, if the detoxing involves the brain, for example, and there's like the swelling is happening in there, this is where antibiotics come in handy. Because now the antibiotic will kill a lot of the bacteria everywhere, including the beneficial ones, like in the gut, for example, that are making nutrients that you need. But it'll kill all the bacteria. Now the temperature goes down. The swelling goes down. You save lives. Same with the heart or other vital organs. When you have too much overgrowing, this is where antibiotics are awesome. Like I've definitely, I don't have all the answers for antibiotic free practice. You know, I own antibiotics because I own. Just checking to see if we're still connected.
I don't know. You're frozen.
Amber, are you there?
I'm here, but you're okay. Frozen. There you are.
Oh, yeah. Okay, good. I just I'm sorry about that. So it's a good thing to have strong medicines like antibiotics to prevent catastrophic damage such as swelling that's going to kill someone. Mm-hmm. But the terrain model looks at everything like the body's process and these many, many different types of the so-called pathogens. They're there to cleanse things out, and they're there to deal with two different things. One of them is toxicity. We're in the 21st century, so there's a lot of toxins going on. We've got chemical toxins. We've got electromagnetic toxins now, like the phone and computer that's in front of me right now, you know, that I'm trying to deal with in various ways. And then we've got, you know, deficiencies. There's real deficiencies when we need some certain things coming in food-wise and nutrient-wise, and they're just not coming in because the food has been depleted with nutrients. So you have deficiency disease and you have toxicity disease. And those are the two things. The terrain model looks at both of them. And it understands there's a component of, if you've heard of the placebo effect, I'm sure, which means that you think something is going to help you. You take the pill and lo and behold, it works for you. But guess what? That was a sugar pill. But what happened? Well, what happened is, your mind created it. You spoke before about the word. The word created the events around you. You know, like when we're, you know, talking about like spiritual good words, which is part of spelling. There's where casting spells, right? These are actual powers that are going on. So the voice that is going on inside of your head out there, listeners and viewers, that's what's partially on. there's a real event going on where is creating perceptions, and like if you're expecting, you know, good things to happen, that'll happen. And then there's the nocebo effect. I was around a sick person, so God, I hope I don't get sick. I hope I don't get sick. Secretly, you're thinking I'm going to get sick. And then you have this energetic component. I think we talk about men and women a little bit and the difference. You know, there's this nurturing aspect that women are really good at. Right. That I try to like emulate some of it, but I'm just not like I'm not as good at that as many of them are. And that part of that is an energetic component of it. As I'm in energy medicine as well, and the energetic component is, you know, like where women are around each other. excuse me a second. When women are around each other and spend a lot of time, and they're all their periods sync up.
I know. It's terrible.
Well, it's important because it's a component of being receptive, that you're receptive to each other's energy field and you want to be in sync. People do that when they're around a sick person who's like maybe your spouse, you know, your husband and wife. You could be around them and secretly inside of you, maybe not consciously, but certainly subconsciously, you want to join them in solidarity and being sick or getting sick also. That could be like a soul agreement that was made, like, you know, deep down, that you could have that type of thing, you know, or you could just straight up think that you're concerned about getting sick, and you're always taking in media that says you're going to get sick. And, you know, like, it's a good thing you got your shot, because now you think you'll get less sick, you know, and then lo and behold, you get sick. Well, that's the nocebo effect. You literally caused that by thinking it and by being receptive and connected. So the terrain model of health and disease takes all of this into account, where all the thoughts that are being generated, all media that's being consumed, the chemicals that are taken in, the food and nutrients, the deficiencies that exist, the toxicities that exist, all of that is called the terrain. And this is what professionals do, like me, is we try to find out, okay, so how do we find out what are the biggest handles, you know, what do we help with it first, you know? You follow me on that so far?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I also like to talk about the difference between, real quick, and then I'm going to let you go, but the difference between a man's way of thinking and a woman's way of thinking is, men have boxes, is how it's been described to me, and men literally have a nothing box, where if you see a guy just like sitting down and you ask him what is he thinking about, he says nothing. He really isn't thinking about anything. And me as a female did not believe that in my husband. I'm like, no, really, tell me what you're thinking. He's like, nothing. I said, I don't care that it's not important. I just want to know what you're thinking. He's like, I'm not thinking of anything. Because a woman's brain is like that news ticker at the bottom of a TV screen. It just is a constant flow. It never stops. There's no such thing as a nothing box. And it's like spaghetti, you know, the way the men think and the way the men process things are so different. Everything has a compartment, where a woman's brain never stops. And I'm jealous. Honestly, I would love a nothing box. I wish God would just like plant one in my brain, because sometimes it'd be nice to not think of anything. But this is,
well,
not
it's actually
me.
Yeah, that's why people study meditation, where it's an attempt at, and you don't get to turn off all thoughts for the whole time of sitting in a meditation, but it's a training of the mind to focus on something that's just as simple as your breathing, mm-hmm. or as simple as how you move your internal energy, as doing an internal qigong energy, like I would do. It's a skill set. It's like a muscle that's built, you know, like you don't instantly, like at like whatever age we are, we don't just get to be able to do 100 push-ups. You have to work at that to get to 100 push-ups. Like, you don't get to just have that. Like, I mean, and some people, because of injuries or whatever health reasons, for them, it would be more like they have achieved 20 pushups. And that was awesome, because that was before that, it was zero. It starts with a muscle. So I know that it does seem like some things are for sure men and women things, but there's a lot that's overlap, you know, and viva la difference. Like, I mean, I'm really grateful for that. I think when it comes to the terrain model of health and disease, and when it comes to understanding many medical misconceptions that would be, I unfortunately, widely promoted by even some of the best advocates that we've both, you know, like I'm talking about the people who are really there to help us see the damages of the vaccine, mm-hmm. damages of these you know, like completely faulty PCR tests, they're not going to hold the light onto the subject of the terrain model of health and disease, because it pushes against what they've been promoting. That they would like to promote the idea that they couldn't have been wrong and fooled by virology, you know, tests that are completely without any controls. So I highly recommend people out there listening, watching, go and look up Dr. Andrew Kaufman. Go and look up Dr. Tom Cowan. These people, they're going to show you in various, you know, like shows like this that they're on, that like, hey, you can actually question this stuff, and it's really important to. And you'll see when they talk to medical professionals who've done the work, you know, like they work with virology. When they ask those down bottom questions, can you show me the paper? Those virologists and other scientists will get very upset, because they won't have the paper, and they know that they're poking at. This is the worst
internet.
They were poking at a question that they can't answer. They can't send an actual virology paper that will show isolation. They can't send a paper that will show isolation and purification. They can't show that the isolate in a further paper was used for causation, because there is no paper for that, because it doesn't work that way. And they know when they poke at that question, they were just, you know, they didn't read the papers themselves. They know that they didn't do that. So they're getting caught with their pants down. Mm. And when you see that, this is why there's very few scientists and doctors out there who will face off to Tom Cowan or Andrew Kaufman or or Dr. Sam Bailey or, you know, Stefan Lanka. There's a variety of us out there who've got the DR in front of their name, unlike me. And they're going to actually patiently go through the process of say, hey, I've read hundreds of papers. Can you show me that? Mm-hmm. And they can't do it. And so that's kind of important.
You're really like people. Some people might be pushing back like, I don't know about that. I'm not really sure. Hey, that's good. Nope. We're not telling you. You have to believe everything we say. We're telling you, here's some information. Now go check it out for yourself. And that's what we're saying. You don't have to take Daryl's word for it. You don't have to take my word for it. Go do the research yourself, because some of this information is brand new to me that I've never heard about before. And it's very fascinating. I love the idea of learning from what other people know, because it's fascinating. Whether you believe it or not, it's fascinating. It's absolutely fascinating. I learned a lot tonight. I hope my audience learned a lot tonight. And if people wanted to reach out to you, how could they best find you?
Well, if you already know me and like me and trust me like that, you want to like, you know, like consider, you know, actually consulting with me and get like some chronic illness or injury dealt with, then go ahead, voluntaryvisions@gmail.com. I'm going to give out my actual work email for that. And that's a thing that I'll do. And if you mention Amber May Show, I'll give you a free half hour consult.
Oh, that's a sweet thing, Daryl.
That's for sure. I want to definitely promote your work. If you're a podcaster and you make videos like this, if you're out there on video and you want to grow your audience, go to contentsafe.co, reach out to us. We want to help you grow your audience. If you've been censored off of YouTube because you're doing stuff like you've done, Amber, and stuff like I've done too, because I've had certainly my shows taken off of you.
So what was that email again for consultation?
For consultation, voluntaryvisions@gmail.com. And that's how to reach me. Like if you mention the Amber May Show, and I'll definitely give you a free half hour consult.
Or contentsafe.co.
Contentsafe.co. If you want to get your message in front of a bigger audience and you're concerned about censorship.
It was so much fun talking to you today. You're a really cool guy. So thank you so much for giving me your time today.
Thank you. And thanks for putting up with my crappy internet.